Welcome to the Sunny Hill podcast. For more information about service times and locations, please visit sunnyhill.church.
How are we all doing?
You're good?
How many had a good day so far? I don't know if we could turn the house lights up a little bit so I could see your faces. I want you quickly just to turn to the neighbor you like and tell them that the redeemed of the Lord say so. So here's the deal. If you've been redeemed of the Lord, you got to what? You got to say so. You got to open your mouth. And there's something powerful in what Dom just shared there, because I too have been to an English football match and also been to English churches, and I can't work out who are the real English, the ones at the football match or the ones at church. Sometimes people come into church and they get all serious and they get all spiritual. But I believe if there's one place you can be yourself, it should be the house of God. Come on, do I get an amen there? Come on, turn to the neighbor you tolerate right now and say, you can be yourself. I don't know which one you like, which one you tolerate, but it doesn't matter. We're a family in this place. And God wants to do something great in our lives today. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's just all hype. That's all hype. Well, I believe there's a lot of hype in quieter churches. You're going, how's that the case? Well, hype is when you do something on the outside that's not true to what's happening on the inside. And I don't see how you can have the creator of the universe living on the inside of you and not be a little bit expressive. Yeah, you got him living in you. In fact, the word enthusiasm came to describe the early church. It comes from two Greek words, the first being en, which means in, and enthusia comes from theos, which means God. So enthusiasm simply means to have God in you. Come on, how many have got the creator of the universe living on the inside of them? Oh, only three people have. Come on, who's living in you right now? And because of him, we are victorious. Come on, if you know that Jesus is alive and God wants to do great things in your life, I want you to give him a big clap of praise right now. Come on, let's give him a huge clap of praise. There's something just amazing about following Jesus. You know, my family, in an 18-month period, 26 of my family members gave their heart to Jesus. I love the fact that Jesus has changed everything for my family. And as a result of God grabbing hold of my life, I just want to share that with anybody else. How many know, if you see a good movie, you tell other people about it. If you eat good chocolate, you know, you tell other people about it. We naturally do it. And when you've experienced the love of Christ, you can't help telling the people around you about it. In fact, Jesus said, he said this, follow me and I will make you. Somebody say make you. I'll make you a fisher of people. Here's the deal. If you're following Jesus, you fish for people. The question is, if you're not fishing for people, who are you following? Because that word says he will make you, he'll form, he'll construct. And in the end, you'll have a heart for what he loves. And you'll go after what he's going after. There's too many Christians today, I believe, you know, they get saved, they're saved, but they don't understand that they're called. The Bible says we are saved and we are called according to his purpose. You know, we can live saved, but the question is, are we living in our call? You know, the church is the only group of people on the face of the earth that exists for its non-members. We don't exist for the people in this room. We exist for the city out there. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just build a church in the city. I want to see the city in the church. Come on, I got unsaved family members, unsaved friends who still need Jesus. Our communities, our neighborhoods need Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no hope. They may be nice people, they may be good people, they may be moral people, but without Jesus, they're stuffed. There's no hope, and we carry a message of hope to the world around us. Come on, how many believe that that's true? This is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Well, some time ago, I was in a worship service, and it was incredibly anointed, you know, just like we had worship right now. And in the middle of this worship service, I was about to get up and speak. I got a picture of a dog that we used to own growing up. The dog we owned growing up was a big, fat, fluffy dog. It had an appetite like nothing else, which was always helpful when you didn't like what was on your plate. You know, the Brussels sprouts, you know, down under, and they would magically disappear. It was amazing. It would eat anything. It would eat everything. And this dog used to eat so much that oftentimes it would end up throwing up. You know, it vomits up its food. But how many know dogs don't just vomit up their food? They go back to their vomit and they lick it up. This is before dinner, so it's all right. You know, they lick it up. And it's just disgusting. So in the middle of this anointed Holy Spirit atmosphere, I got a picture of a dog that we used to own vomiting up its food and licking it up. And I'm going, what's this all about? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, oh, there's a verse in the Bible. And so I quickly got out my Bible, went to the back, looked up the word vomit. And it took me to 2 Peter chapter 2. And 2 Peter chapter 2, there's talk, it's about a people have known a way of righteousness, but then have got entangled with sin again. And it says they're knowing God, but they'd become slaves to sin again. And it talks about how they end up in a worse off place than they were before. See, I don't know about you, but God's messed up my life for good. I can't even backslide and be happy. You know, I've been messed up. And it's not like when you get saved, you can go back suddenly to your old life. This verse says that you actually go back to a worse off place than you were before. And then Peter says, you know, it's like a dog. He's quoting the proverb, a dog. It's like a dog returning to its vomit or a washed pig returning to the mud. See, when it comes to following Jesus, there's only one way. And that's forward. There's no going back. In fact, the best way to stuff up your life is be half-hearted in your faith. The best way to be disillusioned, you know, and get all messed up is take half of the gospel, take bits and pieces, rather than fully abandoning yourself to God. You know, in fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, you know, if you hold on to your life, you'll end up losing your life. But if you lose your life, give it over to me, you'll end up finding what life is all about. Come on, how many want to find what life is all about? It's in our surrender. It's in our giving over. And it's realizing, hey, there's no going back. You know, as an 18-year-old, I had to come to a place, you know, if this is real, this deserves my everything. Not just bits and pieces, not just my Sunday. My everything. You know, I came to a place where I said, God, I don't want to just believe in you. I want to experience you. You know, in fact, I worked out, I grew up in a pastor's home, and I worked out at the time, I'd listened to over 2,500 sermons. That's a lot of sermons. I used to sit there and go, oh, that's a good story. Heard that before, funny joke, you know, and respond based on the basis of how somebody was speaking. Holy Spirit really challenged me, took me to John chapter 8, verse 32, where it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How many want to live free? Because that word know, you shall know the truth, it actually means in the original language to learn through your five senses. It means to experience the truth. That's why there's many people who can read the Bible, can quote scripture, but still not be free. Because they may believe it, but they've never experienced it. You can have a doctorate in theology and still be bound. The Pharisees knew the law more than anybody else, but they had never experienced the grace of God. And I said, as an 18-year-old, God, I don't want to just believe in you. I want to experience you. I want to experience your love. I don't want to just believe that you heal. I want to experience your healing power. I love what's happening in our services back home right now. You know, as our bands are playing, people are getting healed. In fact, there was one young girl who came into our youth meeting, and as our youth were leading in worship, she got healed from a bone-eating disorder. She had been in hospital for 4 months, had 22 operations. This bone-eating disorder, a disease, had eaten away at her leg, her hip, and her pelvis. She came in, hardly being able to walk, but in the middle of worship, her hip and her pelvis were completely restored, and she went out of that place leaping and praising God. Come on, you can't tell that girl that God isn't real. She's experienced God. And there's too many people who sit in church, they have a belief, but they don't have an experience. And we can't lock our Christianity into an ideology, into just a philosophy, into a motivational talk. Come on, our God is real, and He wants to prove Himself strong. He's faithful. None of His words will fall to the ground in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor right now and help them know that there's no going back. Come on, there's no going back. There's no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided, I've made a decision. This is where I'm going. Well, one of the jobs I had growing up was I used to deliver newspapers. And I used to get up early in the morning, and I encountered many things on my paper round. But one of the things I hated was dogs. Because they'll come at you from nowhere. And often I'd find myself trapped with my bike in front of me trying to get rid of a dog. And in the dark of the morning, it would freak me out. And there was one address that would really freak me out because I'd heard the sound of it. So I did everything I could to avoid it. In fact, when I came close to the address, I'd cross over the other side of the street. I'd walk on the other side of the street. And then once I was well past it, I'd cross back over and continue on my run. Now, because I was scared of the dog, you know, it took me longer to do my run. It took more energy because I was fearful of this dog actually coming at me. Today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about breaking the spirit of intimidation, because I believe the spirit of intimidation is the biggest thing that actually will stop you experiencing all that God has for your life. And we need to deal with the spirit. I believe what Dom shared just at the beginning was prophetic, and it actually confirmed that this was the right word. Because I don't want to just preach another sermon. I want to impart a revelation tonight. And I believe God is speaking in this room, because some of us, if we're to be honest, you know, we're going back, going through life, and we're avoiding things. What right now are you crossing the road for? You know, some of you are going, well, I'm not intimidated by anything. How do you know whether you're intimidated? Because some of us, you know, we're living under the Spirit and we don't even know it. And we're accommodating things that God's never called us to accommodate. See, I was scared of the sound. So I was altering my behavior to accommodate the sound of that dog. And then I thought, there's one day, man, this is crazy. Why am I crossing the street? I thought, I'm just going to walk down one side of the road. It was about 6:30 in the morning. I was walking down, and my friend had told me how to deal with dogs. He said, there's three ways of dealing with dogs. If a dog comes at you, what you can do is you can just remain completely still and lie down if you have to, and the dog will come up to you, and it will sniff you, and eventually it will go away. I didn't think that was a good idea. I wasn't going to do that. How many know the worst thing that you can do is run? Because if you run, what? It smells of fear, and it comes after you. You know, he said that, well, the other way of dealing with a dog is to look it in the eyes and stare it down. Stare it down. You know, show it no fear, and if it barks at you, just yell at it. You know, and it'll back off. And I thought, well, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. So I prepared myself. I got myself all hyped up, and I walked down the side of the street. And as I came closer to the address, you know, the dog obviously sensed I was there, and it began to bark. And I was getting ready to yell. But as I came closer, I saw it came out of the shadows, came into the light. And what I thought was a big, ferocious dog ended up being a little puppy, a little chihuahua or something like that. And I thought, all this time, I've been crossing the road for that. I believe come the end of this session, some of you are going, all this time. You know, come on, the devil's defeated. He has no power. And Paul says to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, God hasn't given us a spirit of, come on, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity or intimidation. Is where you get it. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, that's what you and I have been given. We've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He hasn't given you a spirit of timidity. The question I want to ask you tonight is, what would you do if you had no fear? Really, what would you do? Would you be in the job you're in? If you really had no fear, who would you speak to? How would you conduct your life if you had no fear? Because the reality is, if we're to be honest, fear is holding a lot of us back. And we're altering our behavior, and crossing the street has just become so normal. And we think everybody does it. But today we're going to get louder than the dogs that come against us. Because there's dogs right now barking in our ear, saying, don't do that. And they're holding us back from God's promise. They're holding us back from all that God wants us to experience in life. And the spirit is a spirit of intimidation. It comes over us. And I quickly want to give you three ways that the spirit manifests itself. So you're ready for this? Come on, I need to know you're ready for this. Come on, you need to be a little bit loud. Come on, you're ready for this today? Yeah, oh, you're not ready. You ready for this? That's a little bit better. We're going to get louder, because we're going to get louder than the dogs. We're going to get louder. Now, the first dog that we need to get louder than is, number one, the dog of past failure. The dog of past failure. How many have ever made a mistake before? If you didn't lift your hand, you're lying. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But how often when we go to step out in faith, we have a dog barking in our ear. Remember what you did back then? Remember how you failed then? What makes you think it's going to work this time? I remember my second year at university, at school, I was just an average student. I went to school to play rugby and eat my lunch. That was the main thing. But went through school, went into university, did a course I knew God had called me to. First year was just a repeat of the last year of high school. And I thought, yeah, I'll just cruise through the degree, because C's get degrees. And I thought that. But then I felt really challenged in my second year. And I thought, man, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to go after an A. So I was diligent. I applied myself. I put all my energy in. Come the end of the semester, I got a D. I'd never really failed at something that big before. I had to pay fees. And I failed a whole 6 months of university. Right then and there, I thought, man, I'm out of here. Maybe I aren't called to this. But how many know, if God calls you to start something, do something, he doesn't change his mind halfway through? You know, right then, some of my friends, they also bailed out. But I knew God had told me to do this degree. But the temptation right there was, man, I can't do this. Because I had tried hard. You know, if I'd been lazy, I'd be able to reconcile it. But I'd worked hard at this, and I'd come up short. And going back, you know, what if I go back and I fail again? Man, I'm going to look like a right muppet. You know, even sitting in the class, you know, the intimidating thought of going into the class and people asking you, oh, what did you do last semester? Oh, I did this. Who's the loser right now? And it's just like all these thoughts came into my mind. And I had to overcome them. And in the end, I did go back. And I did that whole semester again, and I was challenged to say, I learned more in that 6 months than I did in the rest of my five years. Because what I learned to face was failure. Some of us, we avoid failure. In fact, we scale back our dreams. So we never experience failure, because failure and disappointment hurt. It gets you. I've been pastoring for 20 years, but there's many events, you know, I've run that I thought were going to be amazing. I need to be complete duds. I thought hundreds of people are going to come. A couple of times it's just been me and my mates, a few guys. And there's something inside that you that goes, don't do that again. You know, when you're running something, sometimes you don't want to turn around, see if there's anyone behind. But, you know, because, you know, and it hurts. It gets you. It's painful. It's real painful in here. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? And nobody likes that feeling. And so what happens when you hear something God's saying and you're wanting to take a step of faith, you know, the devil comes in and reminds you of that past hurt, reminds you of that disappointment. And the enemy barks in your ear and says, come on, who do you think you can, how do you think you can do that? After you did back what you did back there. And he tries to remind you. And this dog, it barks. And it stops us moving forward. Come, is anybody glad that if they're in Christ, they're a new creation? Old things, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things. Come on, somebody say all things. All things have become new. New day. Come on, you can let the past go. Come on, just because it didn't work last time doesn't mean it's not going to work this time. Just because you failed back then doesn't mean you're not going to succeed here. Come on, God has something for you. And you'll never know it unless you get louder, louder than the dog of past failure. Come on, you've got to deal with the dog. It's a dog that barks in your ear. The second dog that you need to deal with is the dog of present insecurity. How many get insecure from time to time? Okay, I'll just wait for the insecure people to lift their hands. Well, I don't know. Who's looking? It's like, oh, can I lift my hand? Can I really admit to that? You know, we all get insecure from time to time. You know, I grew up as a shy, insecure pastor's kid. You know, I was so shy growing up that my mom used to have to put my pram away from people. Didn't like being around people. Yeah, but God had to deal with that in my life. You know, he took me to Galatians chapter 5 and he said, Sam, see if you can see shyness in the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going, love, joy, peace, patience. Shyness is not, no, it's not there. Yeah, and some of us think, well, that's just part of my personality. No, that's holding you back. And I had to overcome it. In fact, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Sam, you know your insecurity? And I said, yep, not well. Not really well. He said, you know your insecurity? That's rooted in pride. I'm going, hey, how's that? And then he said, well, when you're insecure, who are you thinking about? You're thinking about yourself. And as long as you're thinking about yourself, your eyes are off me. Yeah, your eyes, you know, here's the deal. God can't bless you beyond your embarrassment. He can't, and our insecurity focuses on ourselves and, you know, me, my, I. And God's grace can't come in because God resists the proud. He opposes the proud. See, when you've got pride in your heart, what you're doing is you're putting God in the opposing team. He now plays for South Africa. You just thought you would win because you bet the All Blacks. But you put God in the opposing team. Yeah, it's like when you've got pride in your heart. Some people say, well, I don't have pride. And we're proud that we don't have pride. Yeah, it's hard to do a message on pride because who needs to hear it? The proud. But the good chances are they won't listen to it because, you know, I don't need that. Somebody else. Could we be more proud than we actually think we are? Come on, every time you're insecure, you've got to remind yourself you're being proud. Yeah, come on, God has called you to be amazing. You are his workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are his masterpiece. When God made you, he didn't make mistakes. He didn't go, oops, got that wrong. Get all right with the next one. You look the way you look, not by chance, by God's design. You are his masterpiece. And you've been recreated in Christ for great works, for good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. He's got a good work for you to do. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Another way of saying that is, I'm awesome. You know, when you look in the mirror with humility, you need to look at what you see and you go, that is awesome. That is awesome. That is amazing. Who are you to say otherwise? God created that. And what humility is, humility in its essence, is simply agreeing with God. If God's called you to do something big, who are you to disagree with him? If God's called you to be awesome, who are you to criticize what God's made? Come on, so many of us live under this insecurity cloud and we call it humility, but it's just bulldust. Humility is agreeing with God. How can you have a big God living on the inside of you and have a small dream? Some of our dreams are in the realm of what we can do. And we work out what we can do and we live within that realm. That's pride in its essence, because you're relying on yourself. And there's no dependence on God. Pride is independence from God. Pride says, I know better. You know, pride is trying to figure it out all in your mind rather than trusting God. Come on, if we want God's grace, his empowering presence, enabling me to be the person he's called me to be and to do the things he's called me to do. If we want God's grace, it comes from humility. You know, as C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. The fact of the matter is, while our eyes are on us, we can't do what God's called us to do. And we've got to get louder. Come on, we've got to get louder than the dog of prison insecurity. We need to get louder than the dog of past failure, the dog of prison insecurity. And number three, if we could have the musicians up. And number three, we need to get louder than the dog of perceived obstacles. Perceived obstacles. How many know we serve a big God? I'll take that person. Yeah, and him, we'll change the world. Okay, come on. How many know we serve a big God? Huge God. Massive God. Big God. You getting the picture? Come on, huge God. Big God. Small problem. God right now is not freaking out over the challenges you're up against. He's not going, wow, I've never seen that before. Oh, that's a new one. Michael, Gabriel, let's get together. Don't know how we're going to solve that. That might break the heaven's bank balance. It's like, you know, some of the things we're freaking out about, God's going, oh, no, I've got that sorted. If they just depend on me. God's bigger than cancer. Come on, God's bigger than what we're up against. Big God, small problem. So often what we do is we tell God how big our problem is. God is big. We're telling God how big our problem is. But we need to change the script. And we need to start speaking to our problem and telling our problem how big our God is. Come on, how big a big God? Small problem. Small problem. He can solve it. He can bring answers. He can create something out of nothing just by his word. His word is powerful. And his word in your mouth is just as powerful as it is in his mouth. If you just choose to believe it, big God. One of the ways that the spirit of intimidation manifests in the Bible or was personified, Pastor Dom said it well, is in the spirit of Goliath. Goliath, he'd mock, he'd intimidate the people of God. The Israelites would come dressed for battle each and every day. Then they'd see this giant in the valley, and this giant would taunt them. So much so that they'd go home in fear. They came dressed looking like soldiers. They came dressed ready for a victory. But they went home not fulfilling their mandate. I wonder how many times we come to church, we're dressed like Christians. We're ready. We even go home after the service. But come Monday morning, all their armor's taken off. And we shrink back into normality. God hasn't called you to live a normal life. Come on, put on the armor of God. Don't just look like a soldier. Just don't look like a Christian. Come on, a Christian is somebody who believes the word of God, believes the truth more than the facts around them. It says, I'm going to put my dependence in that. I'm going to put my hope in God. Come on, I'm not going to become downcast. I'm not going to let the enemy bark in my ear any longer. I'm going to believe God, and he's going to bring about a breakthrough. And I just love how David rocks up on the scene. Now, at first, his brothers try to intimidate him. You know, what are you doing here? You should be back with the sheep. You know, there's pride in your heart. You know, you cocky young upstart. But David had a mandate from God. And I love, he gets onto the battlefield after rejecting Saul's armor. And he looks the giant in the eyes. Like the dog looks her in the eyes and says, who are you? You uncircumcised Philistine. Challenges the guy's manhood. Says, who are you to defy the armies of the living God? Who are you? In other words, I've got the way to heaven behind me. And who are you to defy me? The armies. I represent the armies of the living God. He says, today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut off your head and I'm going to feed your dead carcass to the birds of the air. I believe right now some of us have got problems in this room and we've shrunk back, but I believe God's raising up a people who understand that they don't live with a spirit of fear, timidity, but they have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And today we're going to speak, get louder, speak to those problems and say, who are you to defeat me? I'm a child of God. You're not going to defy me any longer. I'm not living under the Spirit any longer. Today, I'm going to cut off your head and I'm going to feed your dead carcass to the birds of the air. Come on, we didn't just gather on a Saturday to have a religious meeting. Come on, I believe we're here to experience the power and the presence of God. And there's some of us have been living less than what God's called us to. But I want to declare a new day. Come on, we need to announce to the enemy, your time's up. Because we're dealing with the dog of past failure, the dog of present insecurity, the dog of perceived obstacles. And we're saying no longer are we going to listen to those anymore. We're going to tune in to God's word. And we're going to stand up knowing that God has given us, he's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. How about everybody stand to your feet right where you are right now? I believe God's ministry in this place, you know, even as I was speaking, God was highlighting areas where people have come under. I believe God wants to bring you up and over. Right now, if you recognize an area in your life where you've come under a spirit of intimidation and you want to get set free, I want you to lift your hands right where you are right now. In fact, we're going to do something different. I don't want you just to lift your hands and stand where you are. I want you to get out of your seat and come down the front. Some of you are saying, well, why do I need to do that? Well, you need to move. You need to break past and do something that you've never done before. Come on, if you want to get free, I want you right now, get out of your seat. Come. I don't care how many come, if it's the whole room, whatever. Come on, come right to the front, right to the front, right to the front. And we're going to sing this song. Because this song has a declaration that we're declaring today. We're no longer slaves to fear. Come on, we're no longer slaves. We're a child of God. And right now, I want you to lift your voice. Come on, let's sing this out right now. Here we go.